In the early 1990s, when lawyers and state attorneys general talked about taking tobacco companies to court to pay for the health costs of smoking in the United States, most people thought the idea was crazy.
The tobacco companies had a strong lobby, and after all, some people said, people themselves decide whether or not they smoke. The case ended in 1998 with the largest settlement in United States history. The tobacco companies agreed to pay nearly $250 billion to 46 states.
Now, some are floating the idea of bringing the food industry to court to pay for the health costs associated with obesity, diabetes, and heart disease.
One law firm out of Chicago has been encouraging attorneys general around the country to consider bringing such a case. A lawyer leading that push will be joining us later in the hour. First, Politico reporter Helena Bonamiller-Evich is with us. She covers food and agriculture and has recently reported on the story. Helena, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, at first glance, this seems like an unlikely idea to a lot of people. Was that the attitude back in the 90s when big tobacco companies were brought to court?
Yeah, it certainly was. You know, I talked to Mike Moore. You mentioned the attorney general, the former attorney general from Mississippi, who spearheaded that, you know, that effort in the 90s. And he, you know, people really thought he was kind of crazy. They sort of laughed at him and didn't really take seriously what he was doing. But as you mentioned, within a couple of years, he had spearheaded what would be the largest class action settlement in history. So it clearly became very serious for the tobacco industry, even though they fought it very hard for several years. I think there are definitely huge differences between food and tobacco. So comparing them, you know, I think initially kind of makes people furrow their brow and say, what are you talking about? First, we need food to live, and tobacco is, you know, obviously considered harmful to your health. Most uses of it anyway. So there are huge differences, but the legal argument they're making is the same, that an industry has, you know, contributed to healthcare costs, the states are picking up the tab, and maybe that industry maybe they should be paying for some of that share.
Is it a higher hurdle because the health impacts of tobacco are a little more heavily proven, I guess, whereas food and obesity, the line's a little blurrier. Which food do we call unhealthy? Which food isn't unhealthy?
Yeah, the which food or which company to target is, I think, the biggest, most complicated question that this proposal brings up. I mean, would you look at market share? Would you zero in on sugar? Would you, you know, do restaurants? Are they included? I mean, the food industry is much, much more diverse than the tobacco industry. During the 90s, there was, you know, maybe a dozen major companies. There were big companies. Everyone knew who those companies were, but food industry, I mean, it covers thousands of companies, and it definitely is a very different industry. And you mentioned the science. I mean, the first thing that people ask me when they read this story is, what about personal responsibility? You know, people are making choices about their diet. And it was, you know, a very similar argument with tobacco. People were choosing to smoke. The difference in tobacco is it was very much proven that, you know, cigarettes were addictive. I think that's, you know, the key difference there.
And one of the grounds that I think you write about in your story is that there are some people in the nutrition world saying that companies are selling unhealthy foods with lots of sugar, fat, and salt with the intention of making them, if not addictive, then habit-forming.
Right. They want to make their products, you know, not surprisingly, they want to make their products taste as, you know, as good as possible so that we want to buy them. And I think the question that would certainly come up if this ever went to court was, where's the line? You know, are there documents that show that they tried to cross into a line of making food addictive? Or were they just trying to make really high quality, delicious food that we all have a hard time saying no to? I mean, I think there's probably you know, there would be a lot of debate over that question if this ever, you know, went forward.
In your reporting, have you seen any attorneys general in any states around the country leaning toward maybe picking this up and running with it?
Yeah, well, AGs are, you know, keep their ideas, I think, pretty close to their, they don't really talk about things they're considering doing, but it is, I can say for sure, no AG has picked this up or is actively looking at this. You know, the law firm has pitched state AGs in 16 states, but there isn't, you know, a working group among AGs. There isn't a formal kind of effort. What really has happened is a law firm has assembled a team of nutrition and obesity policy experts as well as economists to sort of get the ball rolling on that side. So there isn't a formal effort among AGs. It's, you know, a law firm hoping to convince a couple states to jump in, but that's, you know, a big if.
On the food industry side, is anybody losing sleep over this?
I have heard from quite a few folks in the industry and in the legal community, and people are really talking about this. They're nervous about it. I think there has been kind of a conversation going on in the food industry for a long time about whether this prospect might be on the horizon. You hear food advocates or activists have long kind of compared the food industry to big tobacco and some of its tactics, like it's, you know, the way it markets to children. There have been the comparisons have been discussed for a while, but I think seeing that there is a formal attempt from a law firm actually making this pitch to AGs, I think that particular news is making people nervous, and they're talking about this. I've gotten a lot of feedback from attorneys, especially.
We were speaking with Helena Bademiller-Evich about the possibility a push for attorneys general around the country to bring the food industry to court for obesity-related health costs.
When we return, we'll hear from the lawyer who's leading the push to bring big food to court. We'd also like to hear from you. Do you think the food industry should be made to pay for health costs like big tobacco did in the 1990s? You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're back with our conversation about whether the food industry should be made to pay for obesity-related health care costs like diabetes and heart disease, similar to tobacco companies in the 1990s.
And you can join in. Do you think food companies should pay for health costs related to diabetes, obesity related to unhealthy food? Join in at 800-642-1234. Or is it on us for choosing what we eat? Again, 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Politico reporter Helena Bademiller-Evich stays with us. Now we're joined by the Chicago-based lawyer Paul McDonald. He's leading the push to bring the food industry to court. He's a partner at Valorum Law Group. Paul, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, your law firm is leading this push. Who are you reaching out to specifically around the country to try to make these lawsuits happen?
Well, we're reaching out to obviously the state attorney generals, as well as other individuals involved in public health and who have been doing this for some time to make sure that we have a nice push of individuals who can advise on how these things should be looked at going forward.
And a lot of people respond to this kind of idea saying, hey, we eat the snack cakes, we drink the soda. Isn't it on us? Why hold the health food or hold the food companies responsible for our decisions?
Yeah, I think it's actually a kind of a misnomer to look at it that way. Here's why I say that. You know, we're not saying that individuals don't bear personal responsibility. This is not a consumer class action we're talking about. This is different because it's an action that would be brought by states called parents patriae. And the states represent the taxpayers. And it's between the individual consumers and the manufacturers. The state is an innocent, you know, non-eater, if you will. And so one person said in the prior tobacco they were a non-smoker. And so the state has these costs in the form of Medicaid that it has to pay for, and so it has to make these hard choices. And you have to either raise taxes or cut services in order to be able, or both, in order to be able to pay for these rising Medicaid costs. So it's really not about personal choice. It's about the state having to bear the full cost of an externality. And the one other thing I'd say about that, you know, the proposal we talk about actually takes personal choice into account. Whatever amount of responsibility could be attributed to the foods that might be identified as having a particularly high impact, that would be discounted or lessened by whatever percentage can be associated with personal responsibility. In other words, we're not saying the companies are 100% responsible for anything. Quite the opposite. We recognize there's going to be some percentage, and it may be, you know, depending on what happens, it may be even less than 50%. But I think most people would agree that the companies that we are talking about here are not a 0% responsible. I mean, there's something that's being done. You look at Michael Moss's book, Salt, Sugar, and Fat. I mean, there are manipulation of contents to affect, how people eat, and there are impacts on people's health. So it's about finding a balance. It's not about saying that it's either all or one way or all another way.
Paul, part of the success, I think, of the tobacco company lawsuits was that they, in effect, overtly lied about the health consequences of their products. They had studies saying they were harmful. They came out into the public and said they weren't harmful. Is there anything comparable in the food industry?
There may be. I mean, we've already gotten some indication. You look at the books like Michael Moss's book, and I apologize, I think someone might be peeping on my landline. You look at books like that, you look at other books that have been written by Kelly Brownell, David Kessler, so on and so forth, and you get some kind of a view into the documents and the decisions that are made regarding, you know, how you manipulate contents to make them potentially addictive. As well as not just that, but also you look at things, for instance, one of the experts I've been talking to, Robert Lustig, talks about insulin resistance and how there are certain kinds of food, they're high in glycemic index, that can increase your insulin resistance to the point where your brain essentially is fooled into thinking you're starving when you're not, and so you store more fat and you have a lower metabolism. So there are mechanisms that clearly lead to some of these diseases or some of these illnesses, and you know, I think it's yet to be determined completely, and that's why I want to have this process where we look at documents in advance of filing any lawsuits, where we do subpoenas in advance, so we can do our due diligence and make sure that we're aiming in the right direction.
And Helena, let's bring you back in on this. You heard the argument Paul just gave there. Do you think that people out there, maybe people like attorneys general, will be swayed by that kind of thinking?
Well, I think it's hard to say. I mean, AGs are politicians. They run, you know, they run for office. A lot of them are seeking higher office from there. And I think, to be honest, I think a big part of it would come down to how they think their constituents would feel about this. So, you know, in some ways, it's almost how would the public feel about this, I think, is almost the more important question. And I don't know that, you know, I talked to some people when I was working on this story who said, oh, I would not be surprised if AGs took this up. You know, they've taken action on getting, you know, Four Loko. Remember the energy drink the energy drink with alcohol? You know, they banded together and got action on that. You know, they have shown in some cases willingness to go after certain consumer products if they think there's a harm. But on the other hand, I had people who say there is no way an AG would ever look at this. They would be laughed out of town. So, you know, I think it's a very open question whether or not someone would jump into the ring here. There could be a lot of political liability, and there could also be some benefits if they were able to, you know, have a successful effort going forward. So
we'll get our callers in now. We've got John with us in Toma. John, hi, you're on the air.
How are you? I don't know too much about this subject, but I'm a welder. I got a Class A license. I have certifications in this, and I can barely make my house payment right now. And what I'm getting at is, I love to cook. I go to the grocery store, and I buy, you know, generally good stuff, not the boxed items, this and that. The cost is outrageous. I was at Colburn's the other day in my area, and $5 a pound for hamburger. And when this stuff starts happening, you know, and right now what I'm getting at is it seems that the food that isn't as good for you is much cheaper. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cause that also to go up.
Gotcha. I want to get our guest in to respond, John. He's worried, Paul, he's worried that an action like this, if the food companies have to pay, it's going to drive up the cost of the food we're going to buy at the store.
Well, there certainly would be some increase in pricing for some types of foods. But I think here's the thing you have to keep in mind. Right now, there is when you talk about externalities in economic theory, you're talking about foods that are not including their cost to society, right? They're pricing them at like a dollar menu kind of thing. They're producing externalities in the form of illnesses that we're all paying for through Medicaid. I think that's a very important point that people forget. Taxpayers are currently paying for the costs associated with this completely, 100%. What I'm saying is that if we ask the food companies, after looking at their documents, after we do this review, and after we say, okay, there's a certain percent that is responsible for the individuals. The individuals bear this amount of responsibility. The food companies bear this amount of responsibility. Then we get some contribution back so that taxpayers aren't bearing all the costs. Because the choices are very stark. We can raise taxes, or cut services, or both, which has happened in a lot of states, you know, or we can ask the food companies to pay some reimbursement, not all, but some reimbursement for the costs associated with their products. That might cause some prices to rise, but that, frankly, from an economic standpoint, leads to more efficient use of those products. People will eat fewer samples of foods that maybe cause diabetes if those foods cost more. They will, you know, have to shift to foods that maybe lessen the health costs, which economists would say that is an efficient result, because right now you have the externalities being entirely borne by taxpayers.
Back to our callers now. Thanks, John, for the call. We've got Kathy in Rural now. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm glad you're having this program, and I think it's about time someone does something about the fast food companies, because, I mean, when I was a child, I'm 60, I never saw fat kids, and the obesity in this country is just unbelievable. And these kids, from what I heard in one program, it's going to be the first generation where the parents are going to outlive their children.
Kathy, thanks a lot for the call. Helena, is that health argument, we just heard kind of the financial argument from Paul, is that health argument getting traction with health advocates and others around the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly, I mean, the obesity epidemic in this country, not only with adults, I mean, something like 1 in 3 adults are overweight or obese, 1 in 5 children are overweight or obese. I mean, a lot of people are very, very concerned about this. I mean, from First Lady Michelle Obama down, she has her, you know, campaign that is completely aimed at tackling childhood obesity. People in very high places are very worried about this. Local health advocates, local politicians are very worried about this. I think the issue is people don't really know what to do to tackle this problem. I mean, is it education? Is it, you know, some localities are looking at soda taxes? You know, is it more cooking classes? I mean, there's so many different variables in here, you know, lack of PE, that I think, you know, when people are concerned about this problem, they're not exactly sure what to do with this, with the solution. And I've gotten some feedback from this story where, very much like your comment, they're saying we're glad someone's talking about something, even if it is a strategy that maybe isn't the whole solution, or maybe even isn't realistic anytime soon or ever. They're kind of glad to hear that some of these more policy or litigation focused strategies are being talked about. So
I want to jump in. Paul, very briefly, I want to give you the last word. Timeline. Do you think this is going to happen, and when?
You know, I don't think it should happen that soon, to be honest with you, because, again, I think the most important part of this, we have the opportunity to do due diligence, to do, you know, administrative subpoenas in advance, to look at this issue over the course of a year, maybe even 2 years with the working group, to determine if it even makes sense. I mean, I'm not counseling folks to go to, you know, run to the courthouse and file something. It may turn out that after you do the review, maybe you decide it's not a good idea.
All right, I'm going to jump in there. Paul McDonald, partner at Valorum Law Group, and Helena Bottomiller-Evich joined us today. We've been talking about a possible lawsuit down the road against big food companies for health reasons.